But that's the old me. Shouting out of my window, broke down. 'Cause I don't care anymore. Said I don't care. Let's go.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. I'm your host, Julio Diaz. Hope you're having a great day today, whether you're listening live here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620 on Saturday afternoon at 4 p.m., or you're listening anytime you like, anywhere you'd like, any when you'd like, anywhere you get your podcasts. You can get the show as a podcast. In fact, you can get it even before it goes on the air here on the radio. So if you haven't done so already, fire up your podcast provider of choice and hit subscribe on this show. You know, let us know what you think of the show. You can always reach me at gopensacola@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And I say we because it is not just me here on the air. Of course, my co-host Jeremy Branch is with us. Jeremy, welcome.
I am just thrilled to be here, Julio. As you know so very well, nothing gets me more pumped than corporate mergers. And we got some exciting topic that we're going to jump into here at the top of the show. Julio, take it away.
We don't spend a lot of time on the business beat here on this show, but every once in a while it crosses over into stuff that is relevant to us. And it's hard to think of something that is more relevant to discussing entertainment than one of the largest and most storied studios in Hollywood history going up for sale. And that's what's happening.
Major.
Yeah, Warner Brothers, which of course is not just a classic Hollywood studio going back more than 100 years. It is the parent of HBO, so it provides all that wonderful HBO and HBO Max programming. It is the parent of DC Comics, not just DC Studios, but DC Comics, the printed publications. It is the currently is the parent of a lot of cable networks that are going to be spun off into their own company once this deal goes through. But it is a big storied entertainment behemoth. I think we're down to five major studios at this point, right?
Yeah.
It's Warner Brothers, Paramount, Universal. What am I forgetting here? Disney.
Did you say Warner Brothers?
Maybe it's only four.
Yeah, because they acquired 20th Century Fox, which I believe is when it was.
Right, yeah, Disney acquired Fox, that's true.
Yeah.
Amazon acquired MGM, and I don't know that MGM was still considered a major by that time.
If there's one we're overlooking, y'all let us know.
Yeah, I can't think of what it could possibly be, and I'm going to feel real dumb when it occurs to me later. But
we'll
that's
get back to it.
But that's fine. That's fine. So we now know that there's been some courtship for a little while now of possibly either buying Warner Brothers in its entirety as it currently stands, or splitting off the studio and its assets from which would include not just the studio, but also HBO, HBO Max, and all the studio side subsidiaries from the cable and television side. Actually, I'm not even clear that it's totally the television side. It's definitely the cable channels for sure.
The Discovery side of
the
coin for sure.
Right, right. The Discovery, CNN, all of those, various television stations, et cetera, or television networks, I should say, not stations. And there were three companies that were kind of vying for this. Paramount, which just itself was recently bought by Skydance, was looking to add the entire company to its portfolio, which I was a little iffy on. These people just bought Paramount. That was the other last, one of the last majors. And now they were going to want to combine it with Warner Brothers. To me, that was like borderlining on monopoly, even in a way that even more so than Disney buying Fox was. And I call me nuts, but I don't totally trust Larry Ellison to be a stand-up guy.
No. I think you're right on target.
Yeah. So a little worried there. So kind of glad it didn't go that route. We had Comcast, which owns Universal, which is NBC Universal. So mm-hmm. that would have again been another major merger of studios. Although in this case, they wanted to buy just the studio side. In fact, they just got done spinning off all of their cable channels to a different company. So that's why what was MSNBC is now MS Now, for example. Mm-hmm. All of those cable channels and whatnot went off to a different company called Versant. And NBC Comcast kept the main NBC broadcast network and Universal Studios and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had the third suitor, which has proven to be the victorious suitor. They've now entered exclusive negotiations with the company that has agreed to purchase Warner Brothers Studio for something like $8 billion when all the debt is incurred and everything. I think I'm remembering that number correctly, but that actually sounds really low. So
what I had was 82 billion.
82. Okay. Yeah. I knew there was an eight in there. All right. So give me that. Said we're not a business show. I'm not going to tell you which stocks to buy or anything like that.
No, you're kind of killing this, to be honest.
Yeah. So now we have, a company that in a way has become maybe a more major film studio than any of the majors at this point, certainly in terms of reaching an audience. But doesn't necessarily always reach that audience in theaters, and in fact, usually does not. So the news is the victorious suitor in the courting of Warner Brothers is Netflix.
Yeah.
So that means when this deal goes through, Netflix is going to own Bugs Bunny. It's going to own the Flintstones. It's going to own Tom and Jerry. It's going to own DC Comics and all its itinerant characters, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, etc. It's going to own the film and television rights to Harry Potter. It's going to own back catalogs of things, things you may have heard of like Friends.
Mm-hmm.
Little show called Friends that, a few billion people have watched. Weirdly, I'm not one of them, but, a lot of people have watched and loved Friends. They're going to own classic movies like Casablanca and I believe Citizen Kane, if I remember correctly. This vast, again, more than 100-year library of films and television programs. They're going to own HBO. They're going to own,
Game of Thrones, the
television rights to all of George R.R. Martin's Song of Ice and Fire stuff. They're going to own the White Lotus.
AEW. I'm not real sure about it, but I believe AEW, the wrestling promotion as well.
Yeah, I don't know if that... There's some questions here, and we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the questions this raises in a little bit. But there's some questions as to what goes with the studio side and what goes with the TV side that's going to spin off into its own company. And I kind of suspect AEW may go with the TV side, because it is so tied to being broadcast on, what is it, TBS that has the AEW?
I don't know about AEW. I know that they signed something exclusive with HBO about 4 or 5 months ago.
Okay, well, so, one of the many questions that remains to be answered about this, is what's going to end up where? I think it's mostly pretty clear in that it's mostly going to be the studio, the intellectual property, all the subsidiary studios like DC Studios, which should mean DC Comics as well, because I believe that is actually part of the DC Studios arm, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. Sounds right.
And HBO and HBO Max.
I got thoughts and feelings and questions that I am looking forward to jumping into.
Yeah, I do too. It's definitely going to be a sea change, and we're going to get into some of those questions in just a moment. We're going to got to take a break. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You must remember this. A kiss is still a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by. And when two lovers woo, they still say I love you. On that you can rely. No matter what the future brings, as time goes by.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Your co-host, Jeremy Branch, is on the line with me. And I can't think of anything more appropriate to play when we're talking about the, I guess, you know, it may be a little bit over-dramatic to state it this way, but the potential end of Warner Brothers as we know it. Then, you know, the very song that they use as their theme song, they still play that as the fanfare before every Warner Brothers movie. That's As Time Goes By from Casablanca, one of the most famous and storied films in the Warner Brothers portfolio that will, barring any kind of weird things that happen in the near future, including, you know, any number of things that we'll discuss here in a moment, will be owned by Netflix.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So so let's talk a little bit about some of the questions that this brings up, Jeremy. The first one, I think the thing that's the most dramatic. What does this mean for movie theaters? You know, I mean, Netflix has been very reluctant over the years. They want to compete for Oscars. So they do release things theatrically, but it tends to be very limited and a very limited number of theaters for very short runs. Netflix's argument is they would like to release films in theaters more, but they want a shorter window. They want it to be able to go to streaming sooner. Their argument is that it's better for consumers. It's hard to argue against that. You know, I mean, I think that certainly more people watch stuff at home on Netflix than go to the theaters anymore. But I think the theatrical experience is important, and it's something I'd like to see preserved, and a lot of people would like to be preserved, and a lot of people, you know, have their livelihood based on that. And I don't think, I think that I've always been a little skeptical of people, you know, sending up alarm klaxons that movie theaters are going to go away. I've always felt like as long as there are first dates, there are going to be movie theaters.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's, you know, going to the movies is still like an ideal first date occurrence, because your first date, you're not going to go to somebody's house, you know, right. At least not if you are, you know, have a jot of sense in your brain.
That's a good point.
You know, I mean, and I'm not saying I've never done anything that stupid. I definitely have, and I'm sure other people have too, but as a rule, like, you're not going to go to somebody's house to watch a movie on Netflix on your first date.
So then theaters are going to be around. I don't disagree. I think that's a good point. What I don't know is whether or not Netflix just gets vanity card added to Warner Brothers movies, or are we talking about that? And those are kind of the things. Are they actually merging in a way that is like front-facing? Or does it not change anything optically, except Netflix just owns the stuff behind the scenes?
Well, that remains to be seen. I mean, you know, there are certainly, you know, every studio has its sub studios. You know, Disney has, you know, I don't know which ones they have. Well, 20th Century Fox is one right now, and then there's, you know, Fox Searchlight, and, you know, so, you know, there are these sub studios. But you still know that they're Disney, and I'm pretty sure they still say Disney somewhere on them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it may say like 20th Century Fox, a Walt Disney company or something like that. But I think the bigger concern is, what does this mean for the future of theatrical exhibition? And Ted Sarandos got out in front of that. Ted Sarandos, if you don't know, is the CEO of Netflix. Pretty well-known guy, so you may know him, you may not. But he did say that their plan is to still continue to release Warner Brothers' product theatrically. But they've made noise about wanting to change the exhibition window. And this is something that theater owners are desperately against because they're feeling, and I think partially rightly so, is are people going to rush out to see something in theaters if they know they're going to be able to see it on Netflix in 2 weeks?
So they're trying to push for a wider theatrical release window.
Yeah, they want, you know, I think the norm right now is 45 days, which is still crazy because think about how long it used to take when we were kids. Think about how long it used to take for movies to come out on VHS or DVD.
I think Jurassic Park played for like a year in its theatrical run. And like what you said, there used to be months or even a year in between the release.
Even as late as Titanic. Titanic probably played for at least a year.
Yeah.
So,
Different times.
And, you know, times have changed. And, you know, we do need to change with the times. But there is... Maybe it's a little protectionist, but there are some things that should be protected.
I don't hate it, the idea of saying, like, yeah, it'll come out on streaming, but there's going to be a period of time in between when it leaves the theaters and when it's available to be watched at home.
Yeah. Now, the flip side of this is if, you know, there is a deal that's brokered that changes the theatrical window, maybe Netflix will release more of their own Netflix films to theaters as well. You know, we've seen some, but, you know, even in a market like Pensacola, you know, Frankenstein was theatrically released. We didn't get it theatrically here.
Right.
The new Knives Out film, Wake Up Dead Man, theatrically released, but not here. You know, and a number of these films, they get a theatrical release, but we don't get them here in Pensacola. So maybe they get a wider theatrical release when that happens. You know, I think obviously the biggest thing this year, the biggest movie of the year is arguably K-Pop Demon Hunters.
Yep.
Which did not come out theatrically originally, but then they did a theatrical release and we didn't get it here in Pensacola the first time they did a theatrical release. Because
Netflix is kind of on a good run right now, considering they have just such a vast catalog of stuff to watch and not a whole lot of like premiere stuff. And I think in a way HBO will fill out their portfolio in that way where they do have some prestige television underneath their banner.
Well, I mean, I would argue that if not prestige television, and I think they certainly do have some prestige television, they definitely have a lot of very well-watched things.
Like Wednesday and Stranger Things.
Well, yeah.
Stranger Things, excuse me. But what else?
I mean, I hear a lot of people talking about You. I hear a lot of people talking about, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that I know people are watching that I'm not necessarily watching, so it's not on my radar. But, you know,
Is it cake?
Yeah, you see them. Well, and there's a lot of stuff like that, too, that definitely isn't prestige, but, like, has an audience, without a doubt. Yep. So, you know, I think it's interesting. I think that there are obvious reasons for this to work for both of us, but I think that, you know, obviously the big reason they're buying this studio is for two reasons. The intellectual property, obviously, and HBO Max.
Yeah.
You know, they are a streamer-based company, and they are the largest streamer-based company. But HBO Max, I think, is number three after Disney Plus.
I believe they are going to have to stay separate entities. And if that's the case, I don't feel like it benefits the consumer all that much. It's yet the jury's out.
Why?
Does it benefit the consumer or does it functionally change nothing and just enable another massive scale media conglomerate to eat another and further reduce the numbers of media companies out there? And I think that's potentially a huge downside for, you know, the market.
Well,
but in the meantime, I hope it benefits us.
But why do they have to remain separate?
I don't think they do have to. Go ahead.
Well, let's look at the previous example, Disney and Hulu. You can get Hulu content on Disney now. How long do you think it is?
You can also get HBO content on Amazon.
Well, yeah, but that's because you're paying for an additional subscription. I'm talking about like Disney and Hulu have functionally merged. And it's only a matter of time before Hulu as a separate app goes away. I'm sure of it. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It still exists now, but the days are numbered. And yeah, we'll probably have that for a while. But I mean, if and when this happens, HBO Max as a separate standalone service is eventually going to go away. Within 5 years.
Because I feel like, and this might be different thinking from Ted Sarandos, but I believe that we have hit a ceiling as far as how many international Netflix subscribers there feasibly are in the world. And I think their numbers are so crazy that simply acquiring HBO to put it within their own service would not benefit the corporation as much as it would to continue to have them separately.
Well,
however,
that might
not necessarily be the case.
Not necessarily, because it's all about getting subscribers and keeping the eyes on the service. And here's the thing. HBO Max is not currently in a lot of countries. Like, it's just launching in Germany this week. It's not in the UK. It's, you know, there's a lot of Europe.
Netflix to put HBO in those places.
They'll put HBO on Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and because Netflix is everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, they'll just add Netflix to the service in those territories. The territories where HBO Max already exists, there'll be a period of merging, the same way we're seeing with Hulu and Disney right now.
Mm.
And eventually, you know, that'll go away. I mean, Disney had Star in a lot of other countries, and they've already phased Star out.
I'm not sure of how the math maths on that, but you're right. I mean, those are a couple of examples of it definitely going that way, where I would have thought it would have still made more sense to make the money off Hulu than not make the money off Hulu. But I guess it justifies the streamers increasing their subscription price.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you'll eventually see a Netflix price rise too because of this, without a doubt whatsoever. But they'll be able to argue, well, look at all this more content that you're getting.
And it's a valid point.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. And yeah, I mean, we still have a lot of questions. So we're going to talk about this some more when we come back. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. My co-host, Jeremy Branch, is on the line with us. We usually let a little bit more music go, but I mean, you're talking about Warner Brothers. You can't talk about Warner
as well. That's 19 good seconds of music.
Yeah. You can't talk about Warner Brothers and not go to the original Warner Brothers cartoons and Bugs Bunny, which is, you know, one of the many iconic properties that are being subsumed into Netflix as Netflix buys up Warner Brothers. Now, this is a little bit of a tangent here, but it brings up a good point. Warner Brothers under David Zaslav has distanced itself from its family products, for lack of a better term. You know, you cannot watch the Looney Tunes cartoons on HBO Max. Is a company like Netflix, crazy, which goes for a more broad appeal and definitely has a lot of children's programming, more likely to bring that stuff back to where it's easily accessible, and even more so, do new stuff with those characters that maybe will be a little more, if not a little more quality, at least a little more respected? Because let's look at what Warner Brothers has done in the last few years with the Looney Tunes characters. They made a movie called The Day the Earth Blew Up. A movie with Daffy Duck and Porky Pig. And then they decided, we're not going to release that. We're going to write it off for taxes. And they ended up selling it off to another distributor who put it out in theaters, and it did all right. And it's a good movie.
Yeah, I need to see it.
Like, it's a really solid animated film. They made another movie called Coyote versus Acme. Mm-hmm. It's a live action animation hybrid about Wile E. Coyote suing Acme for all their defective products.
Doesn't Cena star in it?
I believe John Cena's in it. I believe, you know, there's some well-known people in it. Co-written by James Gunn.
Nice.
You know, guy we may have heard of. People that have seen this movie say it's fantastic. Warner Brothers says, we're not going to release it. We're going to write it off for the taxes.
Yeah.
And literally held this film in limbo for years. Ended up finally, after lots of outcry, going ahead and selling it off to the same distributor that brought the other Looney Tunes movie we talked about.
Uh-huh.
And it is going to get a theatrical release. But Warner Brothers has not been doing right by some of its storied properties, and especially the animation properties.
Zaslav has made some really bad decisions along the way. You can go back and listen to our long storied history of critiquing David Zaslav.
So yeah,
like,
I mean,
maybe this will be for the better of there, not just that, but other programs.
There was also a Scooby-Doo movie. There was a movie called Scoob that came out a few years ago. Pretty darn good movie that did pretty well theatrically, and they said, let's make a sequel. They made a sequel. They got it completely done, ready to be released. We're going to write it off for tax purposes.
Yeah.
And that movie has not been released.
The same with Batwoman.
Yeah.
Or Batgirl.
So maybe this is an opportunity for that movie to get released. Who knows? So a lot of people would like to see it, even though it doesn't really jibe with what's been going on at DC Films lately or DC Studios lately, but that's okay because they have an Elseworlds label. So that would still work. That would still work for that. You know, this does open up some opportunities for them to possibly correct some errors that have been done in the Warner Brothers Discovery era. And that's kind of exciting.
On the sunny side.
I mean, that's kind of exciting. I mean, the thing is, like, I think Netflix is more willing to try things. In fairness to David Zaslav, he came into a situation where the company came in with a ton of debt. And he had to cut corners. I get that. Don't agree with all the ways he did it, but I get that, you know, decisions had to be made. They might have been bad decisions, but decisions had to be made.
Yeah.
Netflix has much deeper pockets, and they are taking on a significant amount of debt in this deal. But, you know, that's not as big a problem for Netflix. It's just not. They're too well capitalized. So you
mentioned something in the last segment, and it just like became a revelation to me. Maybe Netflix is more focused on making HBO a global brand that's just accessible to people, because even if they might lose the money on the subscription, there's still like merchandising and all of the official tie-in merchandise that goes with all of these different properties that like it could still be profitable even if it doesn't seem directly profitable.
So just to give you an example of that kind of thing, that's the reason why, despite Disney bailing on Doctor Who, Doctor Who's never going away. The BBC makes so much money on merchandising Doctor Who that it is incumbent upon them to make sure that Doctor Who is still a thing. And
it's a good point.
And can that happen with Warner Brothers? I would argue it already has. I would argue that's why DC Comics has never gone away. Because there are times when the comics industry has been in dire straits. And to be clear, this is not one of them. The comics industry is actually doing pretty well right now, which is interesting. Sales are better than they've been in years, and DC is driving a lot of that actually. You've created this new absolute universe with these revisionist takes on some of the iconic heroes that has been doing incredibly well. And if you were smart enough to buy the first printing and the first issues of Absolute Batman, The first issue is going for over $100 already, and it's only been a little over a year. So the hype train is real there. Whether it's going to last long term, maybe another story. You know, it may be one of those things where you got to know where to buy and where to sell. And again, even when it comes to comics investing, which is something I do know a little bit about, I'm not here to tell you to pick stocks for you. I am not that guy. But so, you know, the the possibilities of making money from merchandising. I mean, just as a great example, that there were a lot of years when DC could not sell a Wonder Woman comic book to save their life. But because they would lose rights to the character if they stopped publishing it, and that meant they'd lose all the money they got off of merchandising the character, they kept that comic book going even when it wasn't selling. Now, it's not,
that's a good parallel.
It's not in that position now, but there are certain things where you look at, wow, that title's run forever and nobody's buying it anymore. That's usually why. It's a deal like that. So yes, the money they can make off the DC characters, off the Looney Tunes characters, off of Harry Potter movie merchandising, which they get a big share of. They share that with She Who Shall Not Be Named, but the merchandising on Friends, the merchandising on Friday the 13th and A Nightmare on Elm Street. These are all properties that Warner Brothers has their fingers in. And even if you're not seeing new movies out, you're sure as heck you can go to the store and buy you a Jason figure or a Bugs Bunny figure right now.
It's amazing they weren't able to make it profitable.
I
guess they did better, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a lot to dig out from under, Netflix has less to dig out from under, but can they turn around and make massive amounts of money off the merchandising? Absolutely. Can they turn around and make massive amounts of money off the DC Comics back catalog? Absolutely. What's interesting to me is where they go with the publishing side on DC. Like that is a big, big question mark for me as a lifelong comics fan in general, and a lifelong DC fan in particular, is do they start messing with what right now is working? DC is arguably in a creative renaissance right now as far as the comic books go. Do they start interfering with that? Do they try to divest themselves of that? I don't think so, because I think that's where the character rights lie. So my understanding is DC Comics as a company falls under DC Studios, which falls under Warner Brothers, which means that if this goes the way I think it goes, DC Comics goes to Netflix. Now, Netflix has funded some comics imprints in the past too. They had a deal going with Mark Miller to buy up all his Millerverse stuff and do the publishing and create televised products based on that.
I remember when that was supposed to happen.
Yeah, I don't remember whether any of it actually ended up coming to fruition as far as as screened products, though. I'd have to go back and look, and maybe there's something that came out that I just overlooked. Because I will be honest with you, I randomly don't watch a lot of Netflix.
No, same.
So there's stuff that hasn't been seen. The other thing I will say here, and this is some news that's popped in the last week as well, is the visibility a property can gain from being on Netflix can turn something that was not necessarily successful. And my point... Well, even more to my point, if you go on Netflix right now, you want to know what one of the top movies on Netflix is right now, besides K-pop Demon Hunters?
What's that?
Blue Beetle.
Oh, interesting.
Blue Beetle is gaining
directly into this.
A huge following on Netflix that it did not get when it was theatrically released, and did not even get on HBO Max.
Right. And Blue Beetle was the last kind of film under Snyder's direction at Warner Brothers before they officially switched gears to James Gunn.
I mean, it was in that verse, but Snyder didn't have anything to do with it.
Right.
Yeah. And James Gunn has said that he liked that character and that the character would fit in, and that he plans to use Zola Maragwena again. Now the profile has been raised on that character. Yeah. So
because Cobra Kai is another series that didn't do good on YouTube, and then it got put on Netflix, and all of a sudden millions and millions of people watched it.
Yeah, so there's some ways then that this could be very good for some things. And we're gonna wrap this up. I think we still have some more questions. We're going to wrap this up after the break. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Thank you. Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, the Batman. No, I'm Julio Diaz, and Jeremy Branch, the Robin to my Batman, is with us.
Before you jump into this, sorry to interrupt, but you realize what happened just now when we were on break, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so for the folks at home, I don't know that you picked up on this, Julio, but for the folks at home, Julio said, I'm about to play another iconic Warner Brothers theme, right? And I was like, all right, cool. And then in about 5 seconds, I said, so Warner Brothers is about to own Batman, huh?
Netflix is about
to own
Batman.
And you just let it breeze right by, like we didn't just share some magical moment of like telepathy there.
Oh, I just figured I'd let you, because I already had it queued up. I figured I'd let you.
No, that's what I'm saying. I knew that you were going to play the Batman theme.
Well, old chum.
Whatever.
It's because of our long working relationship.
That's it. That was wild.
That's where you say, holy coincidence, Batman. So we have been talking about the fact that Netflix is about to own not just Batman, but all of Warner Brothers. And talking about some of the questions this raises and some of the ways in which this might be a good thing and some of the ways in which this might be a bad thing. I mean, we haven't really talked too much about bad things other than the possible bad news for theatrical exhibition. You know, it's seeing these companies become these giant behemoths is always kind of tough for me.
Yeah.
I do think it's anti-competition, and there are things that I like about these ideas and things that I don't like about these ideas. Like, I mean, in my head was when it looked like it might be Paramount was like, oh, well, you know, maybe we'll get some interesting Star Trek crossovers, you know, with some of the existing DC. And, you know, one of the first things I thought about when this happened is like, Batman Stranger Things?
Sure.
You know, it could happen, you know, whatever. You think the other thing that occurred to me that like put the fear of God into me was, oh, Netflix sure does like working with Zack Snyder.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Please. And that's one thing I am really, really worried about here is that the Snyder bros are going to sink their teeth into that. And it's going to be a whole nother, you know, several years of bring back the Snyderverse garbage.
Ain't
nobody got time for that.
Of the quality of the Snyder League, the Justice League that was Snyder's, I'm into that.
Nah. I'm good.
Not instead of. You said it. Elseworld. Well, let them do both.
And the thing is, in fairness, like, I think Netflix has kind of started to back away from that relationship a bit because I don't think Rebel Moon did anything.
Right.
And I think
that was an expensive project.
Yeah. So that to me would be a possible negative out of this. Netflix decides to fire James Gunn and bring back Zack Snyder.
That would be wild.
That would be a massive negative for me. Now, do I think that's going to happen? No. Could I see them doing tandem projects? Yeah. But I think that Gunn Superman has been successful enough. There's enough buzz out of Peacemaker that I you know, Supergirl's done basically, and you know, ready for release in June. This deal is not going to go through before June, so that film's coming out no matter what. I think he's deep into pre-production on his next movie, which is Man of Tomorrow. There's a couple other movies in the hopper out there. You've got Clayface that's, I think, getting close to done, if I'm not mistaken. You've got the Lantern series is done filming and is ready to debut next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got, there's various projects in various phases. And then there's some other projects that we just don't know where they are on. I really don't want to see anything mess with the good that's happening in the comics and at DC Studios right now.
No, it makes sense.
So,
like you said, especially as a lifelong fan.
Yeah, this is one of the things I'm most nervous about. I get nervous about consolidation in general.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It tends to homogenize things. It tends to put people out of work. I, you know, I can't really say I support that. I think that if you have a too small amount of companies that control everything, it's harmful to everybody. And I can again put this into comics terms, because at one point in time, there was basically one comics distributor in this country. And if you wanted to sell comic books, you had to do business with Diamond Comic Distributors, because they were it.
Mm-hmm.
They basically had a monopoly. There were a few other little minor distributors, but you know, they had exclusive contracts with all the largest publishers, and that was it. Diamond's way or the highway. Now, that eventually crumbled, and Diamond doesn't exist anymore. And that kind of makes me happy.
Yeah, it's why, even though I'm not a huge fan of the product, I got to root for AEW, because at least it means there's more than one wrestling company. For people that are fans of that kind of thing, if you don't like WWE's house style, well, then you're kind of out of luck right now, because they're so dominant in the space. But yeah, I think more competition always leads to better products.
So that is the next question, Jeremy, is what ends up where? And AEW is a great example of that, because AEW, I don't know which arm of the company owns it. And I don't know, I'm not clear if they own it outright or if they just have rights. Do you have a pulse on that?
I don't have a good answer on that. That's actually a great question. I kind of took for granted that they actually own the company.
Okay, so it becomes a question of if it's broadcast rights or who owns, or if they have an ownership stake in the company, first of all. And then the second question is, where do those rights go? And right now, where is AEW airing currently?
That I don't know. I thought it literally is one of the few live shows that HBO has on it.
They may be running it live, but I think they're running it live through, doesn't it also air live on television? Like on cable television?
I know it used to. I don't know since HBO took over.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. I just did a quick Google and found a story that is particularly focused on the, you know, there's another project that I forgot Warner Brothers owns, Big Bang Theory. You want to talk about making some merchandising money.
Right.
And they continue to do spinoffs of that show. There's another one. Just kind of quickly. Okay. So AEW's entire television and streaming presence is on TNT, TBS, and Max. So that's all under the Warner Brothers umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
TNT and TBS would be going with whatever they spin off the Discovery companies as. HBO Max would obviously be staying with Netflix. So do they hybridize? Does AEW go with one or the other? But it does look like it's a rights situation and not an ownership situation.
I see a small wrinkle is that HBO previously reported to own a small stake in AEW. But to your point, it's not full on ownership.
Well, and again, even if they own a stake, which arm of the company does that stake go with?
Right. Yeah. Interesting. You know,
it depends on which arm of the company owns that stake, and or if they choose to spin it off or not.
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer to that. There are going to be any number of properties that are going to fall under that umbrella. Yeah. You know, some are more obvious, like anything that's like the Discovery properties, like what is it, 900 Day Fiancé or 900 Pound Life and 90 Day Fiancé or
yeah,
the 900 Pound Fiancé. If they haven't done that show yet, I'm going to sell that show right now. Somebody's going to buy that show.
That's the sequel to My 800 Pound Fiancé.
Yeah. So, you know, there you go. There obviously are some questions to be hammered out. There's also the larger questions to be hammered out of, are all the regulatory bodies going to sign off on this? There has been some buzz, not from the party currently in power, about not being happy about the idea of HBO Max and Netflix merging into one larger streaming service, that was too close to a monopoly. But the party that's in power doesn't really seem to care that much about that. They do, however, seem to care about who curries political favor with the leader, and Larry Ellison, who owns Paramount and tried to buy Warner Brothers, is a big buddy of the chief executive.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's possible we could see the chief executive put the thumb on the scale and say, no, you can't do this deal. You got to go do this other deal. which should not happen, but could.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, there are still, you know, this isn't an overnight thing. What we have now, where we're at right now, is there is an exclusive deal in place for Netflix to negotiate to buy Warner Brothers Studios. The other part, we know the other part of Warner Brothers is going to spin off. The process is not an overnight process. Well, we saw how long it took for the Warner Brothers Discovery merger, for the Paramount Skydance merger. You know, a lot of these have taken some time. The big one was the Paramount Skydance thing because of the things that were hanging over based on CBS News. Again, based on the reactions of the current president. I'm not getting political here. I'm just saying facts.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll see what happens, but it's a very interesting time and a little bit scary time, but we will be following as it goes along. Until then, you're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.